I'm going to be reading from Romans 12 this morning. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let's pray. God, our help is found in you, the maker of heaven and earth. The one who comes to our aid in times of need, who gives us the courage to do what we know is right, and who invites us to turn away from the influences of the world around us. Open our hearts and ears today to hear what you are longing for us to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several years ago here at the church, I did a group study on the book called Love Does by Bob Goff. This is a book filled with short stories about his life, love, and faith, and how they all fit together. Since then, he's written a second book called Everybody Always that I'm looking forward to doing as our next study. The second book is equally as thought-provoking and inspirational as the first one, and so this morning, I'd like to begin by reading to you one of the short stories. The story is called, Where Do You Want to Go? Every one of my kids went on a 10-year-old birthday adventure with Dad. For each of them, it always started with a question. Where do you want to go? This question wasn't intended to ask, what do you want to see? It was more important than that. More charged with possibility. Where do you want to go really meant, who are you becoming? And where do we go to help you to get closer to that? Lindsay, our oldest daughter, chose London for high tea because she's half Mary Poppins and all courage. Richard chose climbing Half Dome because he never backs down from a good challenge. Adam chose to ride across the desert on dirt bikes because even then he was a guy who loved adventure. Guess who turned 10? Charlie. I felt like I was 10 years old all over again when I got on my knees and asked him in my most enthusiastic voice, "Charlie, where do you want to go?" He didn't miss a beat and shouted, "Mount Kilimanjaro." I wasn't expecting that one at all. I asked him if he would rather go back to Disneyland or to SeaWorld, or maybe we could go to one of those indoor climbing gyms. Not a chance. His mind was made up. He wanted to climb the highest mountain in Africa. I think it's because he wanted to prove to himself he could ascend just about everything. A few months later, I got mountaineering clothes and two plane tickets, and we headed for Tanzania. When we got to the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro, someone pointed up towards the cloud-covered mountaintop and asked, "Doesn't that look awesome?" I looked at him and just shook my head. I wanted to hurl. The mountain is 19,341 feet tall, and we were at the bottom of it. Actually, I was standing in a ditch at the time, so that made it 3 feet taller. I asked around to find out how the mountain got its name. I figured there was a reason that it had the word kill in it, because it's the tallest mountain in Africa and covered in snow at the top. It turns out people sometimes die trying to climb it. Charlie, a couple of friends, and I started hiking up the mountain behind our guide. People have asked me what the views were like going up Kilimanjaro. I've told them I don't know. The whole way up, I just kept my eyes fixed on the guide's boots and never looked up. A few times he went over a rock when I would rather have gone around it. But if he went over it, I went over it. Other times he went around a rock, I would have rather gone over. But if he went around it, I went around it too. Here's what I learned. When you've got a guide you trust, you don't have to worry about the path you're on. It's the same lesson I've been learning about Jesus. I'm just trying to follow love's lead. We walked for 40 miles to the top of the mountain and down again, and the guide never tripped once. By contrast, it seemed I tripped every 3 or 4 steps. But do you know what happened every time I tripped? I just bumped into the guide again. Even though it happened often, the guide never turned around and gave me the hairy eyeball or told me to get my balance. He just knew I was following him closely. I think Jesus feels the same way about us. We're all going to trip as we follow him through the difficult terrain of our lives, but when we do, we'll bump into him all over again. Following Jesus means climbing, tripping, dusting ourselves off, and climbing some more. Faith isn't a business trip walked on a sidewalk. It's an adventure worked out on a steep and sometimes difficult trail. I was in a big hurry when we started climbing Kilimanjaro. It was a mixture of fear and excitement and the buzz from downing a half dozen Hershey bars. I was also looking for a bathroom. The guide shook his head at me as I hopped off rocks and jumped over logs. Every few minutes he would say to me, "Bob, pull, pull." I asked what this meant. In Swahili, pull, pull means slowly, slowly. I can't lie, for a guy who does everything fast, that's hard advice to receive and even harder advice to follow. By the end of the first day, though, as I laid down in my tent, sore, beat up, and with every muscle on fire, I knew why he had been saying, "Pull, pull." It's hard to walk with Jesus and run ahead of him at the same time, yet I've been doing that my whole life. I've misunderstood going slow as lacking enthusiasm and going fast as joy. I've confused patience as a lack of will and activity as purpose. What I learned from our guide is I could either run fast or I could get to the top of the mountain. I couldn't do both. We needed to decide the same in our faith. It's easy to confuse busyness with progress and accomplishments with pleasing Jesus. Every day we get to decide whether we're really following Jesus or treating him like he's just a Sherpa carrying our stuff. It took 5 days, but I made it to the top of Kilimanjaro. My first thought at the summit was, where's the air, as I grabbed my throat? Brave little Charlie made it to 16,400 feet. This was to be his personal summit. To give context, this was higher than the summit of Mount Rainier in North America. That's not bad for a 4-foot-tall kid who had just come through a big operation. Before Charlie headed back down the mountain with one of the guides, he had a ceremony. I had brought 15 medals with me and started pinning them on Charlie's jacket. I said, Charlie, you're brave, and pinned on the first medal. I said, Charlie, you're courageous, and pinned on the second one. Medal after medal hung on his chest as I spoke words of truth and encouragement and love over him. As I put the last medal on him, I said, Charlie, you're a mountain climber, and gave him a hug. He looked like Colin Powell when he walked off that mountain. The most important part of our ceremony wasn't what I said or all the medals. It was what I didn't say. You see, I didn't tell Charlie how far he had to go. I said, Charlie, look how far you've come. People who are becoming loved celebrate how far the people around them have come. They're constantly asking the question, where do you want to go? Then they help the people around them get there. Go do that with the people you love, including your enemies. Don't talk to them about their failures and the dark places they've been. Talk to them about who they're becoming and the bright hope that is their future. Speak truthful and wise words over them. Bring a few medals, too. As you put the last one on their chest, look at them in the eye and tell them, look how far you've come. Knowing that the journey you and I are on never really ends, we can ask the people we love one of the most important questions ever conceived. Where do you want to go? Bob Goff lives his life leading with love, serving others, and sharing God's message of grace and forgiveness with all. He's always open to seeing the many ways God works in and through and around his life, recognizing the little things, encouraging others to do the same thing. Many of his stories leave me wondering how to be a better person, how to love more, how to set a better example, how to allow God into all moments. While at times I wonder if anyone like Bob can truly exist in this world we live in today, his attitude and example are contagious, and he encourages us to be a better version of ourselves. We are called as God's people to be sincere, to honor others above ourselves, to be joyful and patient, to share, to be hospitable. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But our Roman scripture this morning carries on. We are called to treat others like this, even if they are inconsistent in their behaviors with us, and we are told we need to be consistent in how we treat others. Now it gets a little bit more difficult. It continues to get even more difficult because here's the thing. We can't continue to fall into the ways of this world, especially when it can hold us back, or even when it takes us back to an era we've left behind. As a body of Christ, we have many different people who can do many different things. And I personally thank God for that and celebrate our differences. Goodness knows nobody needs me to try and plant more in the memorial garden and to be expected to keep it alive, or fix the electrical wiring without causing a fire, or balance the Sunday morning offerings in a timely and dignified way, or be handed sheet music and asked to read and sing the notes on the page. As a body of Christ here at St. John's, we need to work at being more diligent about inviting people to be part of us, to step up and to lean in, to use their gifts and talents to fill roles here at the church. And not only do we need to invite them in, we need to encourage them to step into roles that have been filled by the same people for years on end, to help those of us who can no longer fulfill those roles. We need to actually empower these people to use their passion, their God-given gifts and talents to love and serve our church, our community, our God. This is an absolute must if we want to move ahead in this world and if we want to further and prolong the life of this congregation. Here's what else we need to do. We need to keep encouraging others without using the word but mid-sentence. During our VBS week, I heard numerous times what a fantastic week it was, how much work everyone had put in, how exciting it was to see so many kids here. But where were they all on a Sunday morning? That attitude can be damaging roadblocks, and it takes away from any of the encouragement being sincerely offered. Or how about this one? It's lovely you want to help us out, but that's not always how we've done things here. Again, that little word but stands in the way of us inviting others to be part of the body of Christ. We must set our hearts and minds on loving others sincerely, being devoted to each other, and not throw each other under the proverbial bus with our seemingly backwards comments, questionable compliments, and mysterious encouragement. It's a joy to recognize that we are all different people, yet seemingly we all desire and strive for the same goals, to love God and to further our church. Just because we have various ways of meeting those goals doesn't make one person more right over another. It doesn't mean that the old ways of doing things is the only way. It doesn't mean that trying something new is the perfect idea either. Of course, we may not like some of the ideas or ways of doing things. However, that doesn't make it wrong, nor does it give us permission to tear someone down or become conceited when someone else's idea doesn't work. It also doesn't allow us to seek revenge or leave someone out because they seem to think differently than us. We may not all agree on what faith looks like or how we are doing as a church or where we want to go. We can agree to disagree, though, and be respectful, kind, loving, accepting, and gracious of all as we try to work together as the body of Christ, the way God has called us to. The way we were got us to where we are, but isn't necessarily going to get us where we want to go. The world continues to change around us, and if we want to keep up and keep on keeping on, we need to take the next steps to follow our faithful God who has led us this far. So, who are we becoming? And where can we go in order to help us to get closer to that? Of course, there will be mountains to climb, rocks to go over, and other ones to go around. There will be moments we want to give up and walk away from everything, throwing up our hands in frustration and defeat. Even still, there will be times we want to take another route because we are afraid of what is around the next corner. Yet with Jesus as our guide, the one who leads with love, we can be confident that he is continuing to call us higher. It's not an easy fix to continue building our church, especially not with decreasing numbers or the "this is great but" comments, or relying on the same people to offer leadership in various areas over and over again. We can't rush through things and need to focus more on slowing down and walking with Jesus rather than ahead of him. What might we see if we slow down long enough? Maybe we'd see the intergenerational relationships we are so blessed to have in this church. Or maybe we'd see the new members finding their church home here because of the people and mission of this fabulous place. Or maybe we'd see the community that is drawn to this place because of the amazing outreach we offer. Or maybe we'd see the 20 youth who gather on a Thursday night for their church because Sunday mornings aren't always possible for their family. Or maybe we'd see the 46 VBS campers and families who feel like this is the place they found God. Maybe we'd see the community that has been created for those who don't have family to call their own outside of here. Or maybe, even still, we'd see that this is the last place people want to visit before making their way to their eternal home. It's easy to confuse busyness with progress, but every single day we need to slow down long enough and choose to follow Jesus. We need to encourage those around us to continue seeking Christ. We need to recognize and acknowledge the good things others are doing. Are we going to keep tackling Mount Kilimanjaro, or are we going to take another familiar trip to Disneyland, the safer, more familiar option of the two? For those of you who really know my family, you know that's a pretty bold question. How far have we come as a church? Where do we want to go? Who is going to take a step up and help lead us? Who is going to cheer us on? Once you step outside of these walls of St. John's, where do you want to go? The options are limitless. God calls us each and every day. His mercies are made new every morning. We have hope in our Lord, and hope is the only thing stronger than fear. May we follow his lead and lead with love. Our God is great in his faithfulness.